Greetings, OnlyTans. Today is Friday, January 5th, and yesterday we had our check-in with the chat, and we talked about what's been happening over the last 3 weeks, mostly on NBA Top Shot. We talked a lot of NBA Top Shot today. We talked about the fast break game on NBA Top Shot, which I have been a fan of. We talk about this conversation that's happening around collectability versus utility. And we talk about some other things as well. And at the end of the show, we talk about airplane bathrooms. So I know for those of you that only tune into the show to hear about airplane bathrooms, you got to fast forward to the end. But anyhow, I hope that you enjoy. It's been great. It was great to have a break of 3 weeks, but it's great to be back chatting with you all. And if you want to try to make it live, we go live on Thursdays at 4 p.m. Eastern. So if you can make it next week, then I look forward to having you. And anyway, that's about it. Recall that nothing you hear should be considered financial advice, and let's jump right into it. Hello, everybody. How are you all doing? It's been a while. My video looks kind of choppy, so I'm going to close a couple things here in the background. Hopefully that improves it. Let's close Discord. Let's get at it. Who look at Discord anyway? All right. Hopefully it's a little less choppy now, but it might not be, but that's okay. We're going to do it live. Anyway, I hope you're all well. It's been a while. It's been 3 weeks since we last spoke. I was in Brazil with my family. And that was a nice time. Brazil's great. Very hot. I always get sick in Brazil for some reason. So I got sick, but we're here. We're healthy. We're doing okay. The news of the day, unfortunately, not the greatest news to hear, which is friend of ours, friend of the show, Packer Ewing, a.k.a. Sean, let go from Dapper Labs. And that was being shared just before we started this show. You hate to see it. You hate to see it. Sean was one of the good guys. I remember when Sean first joined Dapper Labs, joined Top Shot, there was a need for like improved communication, and he did an awesome job. Wow, look at that. We got a nice, generous sticker from Boston Base. Give him a little ice cream. So good. Very generous sticker from Boston Base. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you, and I love you as well. All right. So yeah, that's, I guess we could just start because that's sort of like the top of mind. Sean, really, really good at what he did, really good at keeping the community informed, and just, he's a talented guy. I imagine he's going to bounce right back. Maybe we'll even see the return of Packrat Media. Who knows? But anyway, yeah, we wish the best to Sean, and maybe he'll be back on this show again in the future when things are a little more calm. So let's catch up here. Let's see who's in the room with me here. Got Jump Shoot. We got Team Hold So Rare. There you go. And Boston Base, of course. We love the Timer. Perfect Tyrell is here. Top Shot Hot Shot is here. He wants to work at Dapper Labs. Poker Pro Eric is here. Josh is here. And I think that's about it. Poker Pro is asking, why didn't you stream from Brazil? So K-Dunn is here as well. Hello, K-Dunn. So this time around, see, the last time I was in Brazil, it was just me, my wife, and my one son. This time it was my son and my infant daughter. Airplane Mode's here too. Hello, sir. So anyway, having two kids compared to one kid, and also I wanted to keep it like predictable. I wanted to keep streaming at the same time, which is 6 o'clock there. So it was just really, really difficult to do that. So I think in the future, I'll probably just not stream when I go to Brazil. But I was able to at least make some videos. Hopefully you enjoyed those videos. And we can talk about some of the subjects in those videos. Because for me personally, I have really been enjoying Fast Break on NBA Top Shot. I really have been enjoying it a lot. Honestly, it's sort of surpassed my expectations. And the reason I say that is because what did we have for gamification before this game, before Fast Break? If you think about it, we had flash challenges, and we still do have flash challenges, though they're not as frequent as they used to be. And that's about it. And other than that, it was some, like, you know, burning related challenges and things of that nature. But flash challenges are what we had. And flash challenges, it's basically like fantasy the day after. So can you speculate and guess who's going to perform? Yes, you can. And we were doing that during flash challenges, and in the heyday of flash challenges, when, you know, there wasn't so much supply of every different player, there were some pretty entertaining and fun moments. But this fast break makes a lot more sense. It's more aligned with the NBA season. It's more aligned with who are the best players in the NBA. And it's pretty much like prop betting, which I find more interesting personally than standard fantasy. I also suck at standard fantasy, just to be clear. So to me, I am way more interested in this sort of prop betting style of fantasy, where every night you kind of have to guess who's going to perform that night. And I think the wrinkle as well about how many times you can use a player, depending on what tier of moment you have of that player, also makes it more fun and more interesting. So I just think they really knocked it out of the park on this one. Like, and having flash challenges to base this off of, and, like, you know, people joke around with the wheel, having the wheel and having flash challenges and then going from that to this, to me, is just a really big surprise. I think the UI is excellent and it's improving. We've already gotten some hints at, like, what's being going to be added to the UI. So I just think it's really, really good. And I've been enjoying it thoroughly. And I think that because it's a little bit different every night also works in its favor, where, like, it's different every night, so it doesn't just get stale. Like, for example, what's that game of the grids where you guess the player that used to play on all the teams? I was playing that every night as well for a while, and then I sort of faded away in my interest. I'm not really playing it anymore. And I think part of the reason is because it's the same thing every night. There's little wrinkles to make it different depending on who you're trying to match up in the game, but it's the same thing every night. And I think that's what I personally, my goldfish mind, I like how it's something different every night. It sort of feels like sort of a different challenge in a way every night. And also, depending on what teams are playing every night, it's a challenge. And if you're going to use your player, or if you're going to save your player for later on, if you're going to try to go chalk, meaning you choose the best players at the top of the options that you can choose, or if you're going to go a little more tricky and use a surprising player, and if they happen to do really well, you might be clearly in first place, right? And I'm going to get to these comments in a second. I just have trouble reading and thinking and talking at the same time. But I am in a Discord, on the Top Shot Discord, for people who had like slightly early access. I think I was 1 week before everybody else. And we get to see what's coming down the road next. And there's also the public, open to everyone, fast break channel as well. And it's exciting and it looks really good. And I just have really high hopes for what they're doing. And we'll talk about what this means for values of moments on NBA Top Shot. That'll be our next subject, because I know, like, a couple people are pretty having fervent conversations about that on Twitter threads of mine. So let me just catch up and see what people are saying, and then we'll continue this chat, okay? So Poker Pro's asking, who's going to run Top Shot Twitter now? Me? Well, not that I know of. Jump Shot says, when you let people like that go, it makes you wonder what's going on. Boston Bay says, props to him, milking that paternity leave before leaving. Let's see. Poker Pro says, props to gifting his entire 30 of 30 Cool Cat set to Secret Santa. That's true. He did. He gave away his whole Cool Cat set. That was pretty generous by Sean. Poker Pro's asking, do I enjoy it as much as Moment Ranks Play? I enjoy it a lot more than Moment Ranks Play. Moment Ranks Play, the UI wasn't very good. And I think having something on the website makes way more sense. It just looks better. It's easier to play with, easier to use. It's way better than Moment Ranks Play. OTM Hoops, I haven't played. AI Sports, I have. Better than AI Sports. I mean, it's better than anything else that's out there, just period. You can't compare. Beta for Life says airplane mode. Boston Bay said, I just spent $100 on Star Wars Episode 1 digital pins today. Do I have a problem? Who knows, Boston Base? I mean, the NFT space is so speculative and so hard to really predict that who knows? I mean, maybe Star Wars digital pins that you bought for $100 today will be worth 100 times that in the future. Just treat it as that. Treat it as a highly speculative play where if it goes to zero, okay, it went to zero. If your $100 becomes $10,000, wonderful. But just realize that you're basically playing penny stocks in a way. Very speculative plays. Top Shot Hot Shot says basically the same thing, but done in a much more user-friendly UI. It's addicting. I agree. It's addicting, but in a good way, in the best possible way, Top Shot Hot Shot. K Dunn says Boston Base does have a problem with those digital pins. Let's see. Okay. Poker Pro saying, guessing how an NBA player does that night. So daily fantasy sports, which has been around. As I said earlier, Poker Pro, in my opinion, it's sort of simplified. It doesn't feel like daily fantasy sports. It's simplified. It's constrained based on the night of the night that you're playing. You can win per night. It's different. In my opinion, it's like fantasy meets prop betting. That's what I think. Okay. Grids. Yes, that's the NBA grids. Team Hold So Rare says, what's the payout structure for Fast Break? So I don't know if this is a tongue-in-cheek question or not, but Team Hold So Rare, I'll tell you what the payout structure is. As of right now, and I think we are in beta, let's hit that drop. So let's just hit that drop real quick.
Beta.
Okay. So basically, there are three packs you can win. The first, a week ago, it was, I think, 4, 8, and I don't know, 11 or 12 wins. And this week, it's a little, oh, sorry, it might have been less. I may have misspoke. But anyways, this week, it's 4, 8, 12 packs that you can win. Okay. So if we're talking about payouts in terms of packs that you can win, if you get 4 wins out of 16 nights, you get the 4-win pack. It's the first pack. I believe it's 2 moments. Very high likelihood that they are 2 common trade tickets. But of course, you have a very, very small chance of hitting a legendary or a rare, but very small chance. Okay. So call it $2 if you want to do this conversion, right? So 4 out of 16 wins, very easy to do. Equivalent of around $2. Then you have the 8 wins. It's a little more challenging. But 8 wins, you have a slightly higher chance. As I read in the Discord, I believe there are 75 rares going into those packs. There's also a couple of legendaries, I believe. So depending on how many people finish with 8 wins, you have a certain percentage chance of hitting a rare. And of course, there's rares that are very desirable and rares that are not so desirable. So it's hard for me to say what the payout is in that regard. So like, you know, if you hit a rare and it's a Dennis Smith Jr., then it's a $9 payout. If you hit a rare and it's an SGA, it's a $60 payout, if that's kind of what we're trying to figure out here. But as of right now, as of this game run, I think that the chances of hitting a rare in one of these packs will probably be somewhere in the 10% chance. So you have a higher likelihood to get, I believe it's 6 commons. At that point, you will get the four win pack and the 8 win pack. You'll have your 6, you'll have your 2. So you'll call it, if you want to convert those into trade tickets or sell them for $1 each or maybe a little less, let's say. So let's call it $6 to $8 of value. Then finally, if you can hit 12, which is a lot more challenging to do, you have a much higher chance of hitting a rare, also of hitting a legendary. And again, depending on what you hit, it's worth something different. And then of course, that's not mentioning the daily rewards. Some daily rewards are better than others. We saw rookie packs. We saw the Wemby debut. That's been a reward twice for getting the best nightly score. And then we also saw, for example, there was the Anthony Edwards Hollow. That was a reward. You know, that's like, I think $900 or so on the marketplace. Another night was Zion. That's $600 on the marketplace. So there's this interesting construct of trying to win the packs and also trying to win the nightly reward. I'm curious how we keep this prizing interesting and keep this prizing strong over the long term. That's definitely something I'm curious about. I'm curious to see how that evolves, and I'm curious to see how the game evolves, because they seem to have excellent coders and designers on this product. Excellent. And I don't use that lightly. It really is impressive. So anyhow, there's your answer, Team Hold Sorarian. Let's keep on going. Jumpshoot says, please tell me that Tandy did not disrespect the wheel. Of course, I would never do such a thing, Jumpshoot. And Ryan is here. Hello, Ryan. Nice to see you, Top Shot Yoda. And Poker Pro is talking back to Zorarian, I think, saying what the payouts are. All right, let's just try to get a little quicker down here. Let's see. Okay, let's keep on going. Yeah, Ryan also didn't like Moment Rank's play. Stan Loves is here. He said, better when they pay you. Hashtag ad. Inshallah, Boston based. It's much simpler, and the appeal is there. Let's keep on going. So it wasn't tongue in cheek, Sorarian. Mike was curious. So there you go, Mike. I hope that was helpful. And let's just keep on going. This is true, actually. Boston based was also in that earlier adopter, call it fast break Discord, and he was not happy about what was going on with the pack contents. He thought that it would be a bad experience if, like, the majority of people who won 8 wins got trade tickets. And I think that influenced the next run of rewards and also perhaps the next run of daily rewards too. So we're going to need Boston Base to continue bitching. Stan Love says, no coconut video rugged. That's true. No coconut video from Brazil. I'm sorry about that. I might be able to find a photo or something of a coconut. I'll have to look. And Top Shots Hotshot says his 4-win pack was 4 common moments. And that's what you should expect, Top Shot Hotshot, like 99% of the time, so that you don't get your hopes up. Boston Bay says, this is coming after years of us collecting NBA players. It's actually exciting for us that there are big collectors. It gives us something to do with our collection apart from the desirability to noobs. And Team Hold So Rare says, I think it's great for people who have been collecting, just another thing to do and reason to get on the platform. Yeah, I agree. That's true. Jumpshot, we can talk about this if you'd like. We'll talk about that after we talk about our next topic on Fast Break. And Team Hold So Rare says, I don't think anyone is signing up for Top Shot because they have this contest. Yeah, I again, it's not even native to the app yet. So like truly we are in beta. I think that if people knew about this contest and if they understood it, and of course there's always a little bit of a bridge to get there, but if they understood that they could just build a lineup and pick up $1 moments of their favorite players that night and potentially win a $900 legendary Anthony Edwards moment, I think it's a pretty attractive thing, and I think that the game is pretty attractive and fun. I mean, again, this goes back to like the whole chicken and egg conversation about marketing and getting people on the platform. And yeah, we talk about that a lot. We could talk about that some more. We'll probably be talking about it for the foreseeable future. But yeah, we can talk about that WNBA thing in a second. Jumpshoot, thank you so much. Jumpshoot with a sticker. Ice cream so good. Yes, yes, yes. Strong woman. Grrr. Let's keep it going. Where am I? Here I am. QA. Hello, QA. He says, I hope there will be some Dapper credit as a reward at some point. Jared is here as well. Congratulations on your Oklahoma City Thunder, Jared. Perfect Cereal is asking, what is the tiebreaker? So I can just talk about this for a second, because there were some nights where there were many people tied for first place. I think that was the double-double night. Some people got all 5 double-doubles correct, and there was like 50 of them. So as of right now, depending on the tier of moment you have for the players, that comes first. So if you're tied with Alexo, I'm afraid you're going to lose. After that, let's say that Alexo is tied with Mike Levy and they both are using all their legendaries. In that case, it then comes down to the serial, whoever has the lowest serial. That's kind of interesting, I think, for people who like to collect low serials. So that's where it's at currently. I actually think, though, although I do appreciate that they're trying to give an extra little bit of utility or an extra little bit of value for people who are holding those more expensive moments and those more expensive serials, which I think is a good thing. But I think that if you have the highest score, for example, on double-double nights, that's impossible. You're going to have 5 of 5, and that's the most you can do. But there's other nights, for example, when it's top score or top scorers, you know, like you have to get over 120 points in a night with 5 players. Well, I think that first place should be the one who has the most total points. I might be saying something not smart, actually, because maybe that's actually how it's working. I think it is actually how it's working. So my bad. There's something else, which now I can't remember. But the point is, I think that there's other possibilities for figuring out who comes in first without it only being related to tiers and serials. And maybe I'll remember my thought correctly later, and maybe I won't. Okay. Ben is here. That's a new name. Ben Berry. Nice to see you, sir. Ben Berry. Let's give you a little kawaii. Thank you for being here, Ben Berry. Stan Loves wants a fist bump. We'll give you that. We'll give you that. And K Dunn says, until they market it to new users as a game, nothing will change. Jared says, we probably need a deflationary aspect to be sustainable. I agree. There's something needs to be deflationary, needs something like a little burning or some way to create revenue from this game, I would say, or something related to it. And Ben wants to hear about WNBA. And let me just see if it got everything. Jared says it should be top shot score. And Ben says, longtime collector and watcher, former employee. Okay. Well, welcome. I'm here to learn about what happened with the burning. All right. Well, welcome, Ben. Former employee. Give us all the dirt. So yeah, what happened with the burning? So my understanding, okay, and I might not know everything here, so if I misspeak, I'm sorry. But here's what I understand, and some of you can probably help me out. The reason why I'm also probably going to get some of this wrong is because I don't collect WNBA, so I wasn't super interested in what was going on in the WNBA collecting, just flat out. But from what I understand, they were going to burn unsold inventory of WNBA packs. That's what I believe. And what happened was they burned all the inventory, but unfortunately, their code couldn't tell the difference between unsold packs and unopened packs. That's what I'm understanding. And please correct me in the chat if I'm wrong. So the code runs, it's supposed to just destroy all the unsold, unopened packs, but then it destroys all unopened packs, including unopened packs that collectors have in their accounts that they may have been saving to open on a rainy day or been saving to sell on the pack marketplace. So that is what happened as far as I know. There also was a little detail there where they didn't burn the most important serials. And some people, some conspiracy theorists were saying, aha, they can tell, they know when you have good serials, they can give Boston bases, he's going to get the jersey serial, but actually Jeb Bush isn't. Well, that's not how I read it at all. Again, they created a code. So they probably just created a code. It said burn all unopened packs, excluding serial one, serial whatever, perfect serial, etc. And that's how it went down. So I don't think that they were, you know, giving certain people good cereals or anything like that. And what they did in return, they wrote a blog yesterday about what they were going to do for these impacted collectors. There you go. Ben Berry's like, oh shit. So Ben Berry, if you were holding some of those packs, unfortunately your moments are gone. They burned them. But in return, you are getting the pack price returned to you in withdrawable Dapper. And I think if you were holding, from what I understand, there are people holding rare and legendary packs that also got burned. Help me out here, chat. I don't know the details there, but those people are given the pack price plus 33%. So I think that's a fair resolution. I mean, I obviously understand the emotional side of holding onto packs and hoping to open those packs later. But, you know, you're getting most of these people, at least who are not holding the lowest price packs, are going to get 133% back of what they paid. And I think that's fair personally. But maybe I'm too removed from it because I don't really collect WNBA. So if you had your WNBA moments burned and you're feeling really sour about it, you know, I'm sorry that that happened. Okay, so we talked about the WNBA burning thing. Some people were saying like, this is the death knell. What, the death knell? This is the final straw. I don't agree. I think that you got to remember also, like, I know it's hard, it's easy to sort of lay it on when they mess up, but they're not following like a template here. Like, sure, we all wish that they didn't make this mistake. We all wish that they could have somehow done some version of like a stress test if that was possible, but they're kind of breaking new ground. They're doing new things. They can't just template it from someone else. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So that is that. Now let's go back to Fast Break for a minute. We'll have a little palate cleanse, though. We'll have a little palate cleanse. It's just for Stan Loves.
So, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, man. That was an awkward fist bump. Don't put that. Jeff, it's going viral.
All right, that's for Stan Loves. Congratulations, Stan Loves, on the video. My big red dog is here. He says, I'm selling everything now, including my car. Sell your underwear as well, big red dog. Who needs it anyway, right? Who needs it? Let's all just move to a nudist colony. Sell our clothing. That's what I'm saying. Actually, Jeb says, all right. Actually, Jeb is making a comment about competency. Jason Metz is asking about Jacob. And Stan Love is saying, don't print that. So let's talk about, again, let's just put a bow on this conversation on Fast Break, because there's some interesting comments in the Twitter threads that I released. It's our pal Bermira again. I think it's like Bermira and Mike Levy and a few other people who are concerned about Fast Break, about this game, because you can play this game and you're rewarded for buying like the entry moment for each player. So you're not going to go out and buy like a Top Shot debut of LeBron because it's a common, right? So you're going to buy the $1 most recent rippled moment from last series of LeBron for $1, and you're going to use that. And if you need a rare, you're going to go buy the most affordable LeBron James rare. And if you're playing in the bigger streets and you need a legendary, you're going to buy the most affordable legendary. And they don't like this idea. And again, I'm sort of paraphrasing for them, but they don't like this idea because they think that it hurts the collectability of the rest of the stuff on the platform, among other reasons. And there's also the sentiment that we need to integrate burning, that if people just spend like $100 or $200 and get the moments they need of the cheapest rares of their players that get the stats, then what's going to motivate them to buy higher priced items? And I think that these are two different issues, actually. We're talking about a game on NBA Top Shot, right? And we're talking about a game for an entry level player, basically costs you $5 most nights. And that's not nothing, by the way, either, but $5 to play. And for the people who are a little more, who understand Top Shot a little bit more, who are maybe joining today and want some of the top rare players to have a better chance at the rewards and such, then yes, you're going to have to spend a few $100. But what I will say to that, whether or not it's, you know, where people are going to do it now and never again and buy these rare moments, is that people are motivated to buy rare moments right now. I haven't heard that from people around in my circles on Twitter, on group chats, on whatever. I haven't heard that happening in a very long time. So that alone is already showing me that this is something positive. If you're talking about the collectability of the rest of the platform, that to me is a separate issue. And that to me isn't going to be like resolved in quotes until you get to like a critical mass type of deal. And right now we're not there, but this is a smaller segment of a like positive situation, a positive development in my opinion. So whether or not, you know, you like Fast Break or whether you're concerned about it because you think, well, now it's motivating people to buy the cheapest rares of players, let's say, so they can use those players twice in a week. I also think you're going to see then that there were rares of certain players where one was 20 and one was 40. And now both of those lower rares are now almost 40. So like the floor on the rares of the better players in the NBA are rising. And I think that that's a good thing. I think that's what you want on this platform. You want the best players. Their rare moments should be gaining, increasing in value. In this case, it's based on a game. In the future, you hope when we're in like an optimal critical mass of user base, you hope that things all along the spectrum of these players is rising because of the collectability side. And then the gaming side is just sort of a secondary piece of it. Right now, the gaming side might be more of a primary piece, but that's just because of the makeup of the audience of NBA Top Shot right now and the audience of NFTs in general right now. And that's why we come back to this discussion over and over again, where NFTs are still very much not exactly a popular thing to do, not a popular thing to collect. It's a very focused group of people that buy this stuff. Go look at NFTs on OpenSea. Go look at the volume. You just saw, as an aside, you just saw like Solana NFTs getting a ton of volume. Why were Solana NFTs getting a ton of volume? Was it because people thought Solana NFTs were beautiful and they were looking forward to the utility of those Solana NFTs? You'd be you wouldn't be very intelligent to think that that's why people were collecting Solana NFTs. It's the same reason why there was a rush on NBA Top Shot moments. It's because of speculation. It's because of greed. It's because of trying to be early on what you think is a technology, crypto, etc. related play. Okay? So that's how I feel about that. We're still early. We're still very early if you think about it. I mean, there's a handful of us in this chat. If you compare it to how many people collect physical cards, and that was something that came about after hundreds of years or decades or whatever you want to call it, and it was completely ingrained in the tradition and the baseball tradition, let's call it, right? Like that feels very different. I think that we're trending in the right direction though. And I think the final thing I want to say about this like gamification versus collectability thing is, if there was no Fast Break, if there was no Fast Break game on NBA Top Shot, do you think the net result would be worse? No. I think that's the point I'm trying to make here. I think the net result is positive. If there is this game that the existing community is getting excited about, that is a net positive. So that's what I would say. If we're worried about long-term values of collectibles, I just think it's a different conversation. And I think that these two things can coexist. So that's all I got to say about that. Let me now catch up again. Boston Bay says, I disagree. I think people get in the groove, pick a moment they think will also maintain or increase value instead of the cheapest one more often than not. Okay. Well, I appreciate your opinion there, Boston Bay. Poker Pro Eric says, how does this help the Magic Johnson rares go up? You know what, Poker Pro? It doesn't. The type of thing that can help Magic Johnson rares and Larry Bird rares in terms of gamification are flash challenges, I would say. I don't want them to tinker too much with Fast Break, to be honest. I saw one guy on Twitter, I think it is, I can't remember the username now, but it's a good account. I like his account. He's a smart guy. And he was saying something about we should be able to use archive players. And then depending on the day of the season, you get that stat for the player that day. And like, that's just a bad idea. It's overreaching. It's trying to create something that shouldn't be created. Fast break is supposed to feel like prop fantasy every night, and you get to use your moments, period. You have your commons, you have your rares, you have your legendaries. I think there's an argument that can be made around Top Shot debuts, but what concerns me, though, is now we're playing like pump my bags game, because common, rare, legendary, very easy to understand. If we start saying common, but if it's a debut common, then it's something else. I get worried that all of a sudden it starts to get a little bit confusing. That, though, would be like the one adjustment that I think would be understandable, because the debut is supposed to be special. All right, let's keep it going. Jared says it does allow that, but anyone with sense won't buy exclusively for fast break. Rewards aren't good enough to justify that, in my opinion. Maybe that's harsh. Yeah, I think that's a fair opinion as well, Jared. I think this is relative to what Boston Bay said. It's sort of a balance between buying because you like the collectible and buying because you want to use it on fast break. And even though the rewards might be not good enough, I also think that just having some of these really interesting daily rewards, even if your chance to win those rewards are not very high, everyone still thinks it's going to be them that day. So if you can use an SGA another night and you couldn't use them the night before because you already used them, then that's enough to get you excited. You know, so what? So you might have a chance to get that first place prize, even though it's a small chance. And if you can get that 12 win pack, you have a pretty decent chance at something decent, you know? So it's a balance. It's a balance. I don't think it's definitely not one side only or the other. Team Hold So Rare. Mike Sorarian says he agrees with Jared. This is just a reaction to the new thing. And that's kind of how this always goes too, by the way. It's always like something new comes across and everyone clutches their pearls, and like, you have to allow something to breathe a little bit. But I just think that overall, this is a positive. And Jared says collectability will increase with time and better personalization and customization. Yes, I agree. And I know that they're working on that as well. Says Boston Bay says, yeah, but on an app. And Boston Bay says Solana blew up because Packer was tweeting about it. And let's see what else. Jared says, that said, it is a very fun game and I enjoy playing it with my collection. I also don't know how to tag people. I don't know what you mean by the tagging people, Jared, but there's going to be more social developments inside of this game. I can share that with you. I know that they are working on that. So this whole like leaderboard thing where you will see other people on the leaderboard and maybe you'll be able to engage with them a little bit more. You'll be able to share your lineups a little bit easier. It's going to be good, man. It keeps getting better. And it's interesting that they're focusing this much on this game in terms of just their developer power, but it looks awesome. And it's easy, and I'm just a big fan. Ben says Michael Jordan used Solana for NFTs. Yeah, I'm sure Michael Jordan is a big Solana fanboy. Yeah. And anything, this is a good point too. Anything that gets you to interact on the platform regularly is good. And that is a key point here, is that nowadays, I don't know about you guys, but if you're playing Fast Break, you're probably logging into Top Shot every single day. And that is a good thing for the Top Shot people and for their data points. Because let's say, and this is sort of a dream of mine, that in the future they find ways to create revenue on the website, right? Apart, let's say, from selling packs and things of that nature. If you can have data of lots more people on your website at the same time, that is very valuable. And you saw that they brought back the live stream recently during the pack drop, and Jared was there and Samuel D was there. They were hosting that pack drop show. Like, that element is something unique to what NBA Top Shot can offer, which most other things currently cannot. And I know I talked about this and I'm repeating myself, but in the past, HQ Trivia, the reason why HQ Trivia, if you played it on your phone, blew up and was so popular, a big reason of that, and a big reason why it was so attractive to advertisers, was because in this day and age of TikTok, where everyone is scrolling through things and no one's in the same place at the same time. In this situation, you are. And that's very rare nowadays in our current culture. We don't even watch the same shows at the same time anymore. It used to be a thing when I was in school. I don't know if Seinfeld was grade school or high school. I think high school. But, you know, when Seinfeld, for all you youngins out there, but I think most people in here are not that young, but when that would be like a weekly event. Seinfeld would air. Everyone would be watching Seinfeld at the same time. There's value in that. That's why that those actors were being paid like so much money. A part of the reason. All right, let's keep on going. Ben says his best utility came from Solana NFTs. And Poker Pro Eric is suggesting a full-time GM position for Packer Viewing. Why not? And Boston Bay says, toward that Magic Johnson rare comment, it helps that it raises all ships, or whatever that expression is. Exactly. A rising tide raises all ships. That's what it is. And Jared says that collectability is going to hinge on the app flexing your collection, personalization. I love Top Shot, but the product can be better in that way. I agree that the app is where it's at, Jared. And Nest Analytics was the person who said, who had that not very good suggestion. All right, let's keep on going. Jared says the rewards not being good enough is actually better. People getting good free stuff is what ruins the collectability. And basically, it's why the Web3 space is flawed. And also what I'd add to that, Jared, is that people, especially in the Top Shot community, just want to have a chance at something good. So if you can have a chance, if you can sniff the possibility of something good, but you might get something not so good most of the time, but you feel like that next time around, that could be your time. That could be your moment. I feel like that's enough. Yeah. DeCloak is here. Hello, DeCloak. DeCloak says, trending up. I like how Fastbreak has added importance to the moment tiers. If Top Shot grows, it will add even more value and importance to higher tier moments as they become more rare with possible burns. Yeah, we do need to see a bit more burning on the platform. I'd agree with you there. We have people saying community, community, community. I'll give it to you.
We love the community.
Jared said Top Shot is way better than it was when it boomed. If you liked it then, you should love it now. Again, Top Shot was so popular when it boomed because it was a supply crunch and people were trying to get rich. Omer is here. Shalom, Omer. How are you? Hope you're well. And PokerPro wants to know if Roham plays Fast Break every night. I'll give you the drop later, okay? Zakarian was great on HQ Trivia, says Boston Base. Funny story enough, I knew the host of HQ Trivia, Scott Rogowski. He was a roommate of one of my close friends in Brooklyn. Badavine is here. I'm late, he says. That's okay. Not a problem. And Draymond is almost back, says Omer. And all right, let me just scroll. Omer says, Top Shot has a partnership with the NBA and has done billions of dollars, but can only put Jay in $30 nosebleeds. Poker Pro withdrew money last month. Congratulations, Poker Pro. QA says, DGens just want a chance. Related to what I said about sniffing the possibility of something good. And Zakarian was on a bunch of stand-up shows with him when I first moved here. Yeah, there you go. He was doing a lot of stand-up. Then he was almost going to move to Los Angeles, and then he got the HQ Trivia job. And then after HQ Trivia blew up, then he did move to Los Angeles. And now he's in Los Angeles selling used sports memorabilia. So there you go. Full circle here. Sports stuff. He's a big baseball fan. Po Higgy Big U is in the house. What is with Packrip Ewing, Pohigge Big U says? You got to rewind for that one, Pohigge Big U. We started the show with that. But the long and short of it is Packrip Ewing is no longer at Dapper Labs, NBA Top Shot. So we are unhappy with that news. And Zakarian says, what if he gets into Top Shot? You know what? I feel like I may have shilled Rogowski Top Shot early on, like in the heyday, and I think he's a physical card guy. He likes his physical cards, so I don't think he, unfortunately, I don't think he jumped in. But who knows? He might have jumped in during the craze when you could just flip anything. He may have been there. I'd say there's like a 90 maybe 80% chance that he was trying to flip something in those days, because everyone was, because everyone likes free money. All right. Where are we now? We'll give Poker Pro Eric the Roham drop because I know he wants it so badly.
Roham.
Yeah. Boston Bay says we need Turtle from Entourage. We need Turtle into Top Shot. He's a playback guy. And Ben says, damn, remember Janie? Ben, were you not working for Janie? Yeah, we remember Janie. Janie was on the show. Janie was on the show once with Zakarian and I, and Janie thought that I was going to enter that conversation with guns blazing. I still remember that. And I remember that because I forget what happened. There was some issue at the time. I don't remember what it was. I think, no, it was employee collecting. That's what it was. Because I had a strong opinion against employee collecting. Now I don't care. I think employees should collect whatever they want. I really don't care. But at the time, I thought it was not a good idea. And we had a show with Zakarian, and Janie was on before me, and I took the call from a water park too. What was I thinking? I should have just been on the water slides, but I took a call from the water park. And I remember when I got on, she's like, oh my God, is he mad? Is he going to like grill me right now? It's like, dude, it's not that serious. Like, it's not that serious, guys. Let's relax a little bit. But yeah, Janie, I think Janie's at eBay actually, doing Web3 related work at eBay, if I'm not mistaken. So she was able to parlay her role at Top Shot into a nice position at eBay. Congratulations, Janie. Ben says, I drank a beer with Janie once. She's a nice enough lady. And I taught her how to ollie a tech deck in Seattle. Facts. Okay. Well, my six-year-old, I don't know if he can ollie a tech deck, but he owns a few of those little skateboards, those finger skateboards. Yeah, Veerman was there too, and Packer was there too. I think you're right, Zakarian. It was a fun show. Yeah. Boston Base says, I drank a beer with Epstein, but I kept my underwear on. Well, if that's true, Boston Base, you probably have some interesting tales to share. And Bud the Wine wants to go to Seattle someday. So I actually lived in Seattle for a year. People like Boston Base joke, by the way. We got, I lived in Seattle for a year. It's a very gray place. That's all I'll say. It's a beautiful place, but it's very gray. In the winter, you don't see the sunlight. You don't see the sun for sometimes multiple days at a time. And that's very depressing. I prefer a cold day in New York or Boston way more than in Seattle. Even if Seattle's a little more humid and maybe less cold, at least you get some sunshine. It was brutal living there and having no sunshine. It just goes from the sky is white and then gray and then black and then white, gray, black, white, gray, black. That's it. It's pretty sad. So, all right, let's see what other comments we got here. We only got about like 10 more minutes. So if you guys have some things you want to discuss, we can discuss them. I actually have one sort of inappropriate thing I was thinking about. It's a bit of a tangential, but let's just see what else is in the comments here. So Mike is asking, is the full list out? I believe it is, Mike. You know, it's not exactly a fun story. Oh, are you talking about layoffs? No, I don't know about layoffs. Meg is thriving, says Ben. Sorarian is saying, no, the Epstein list that I'm sure you are on, Poker Pro Eric. Wow, if Poker Pro Eric's on the Epstein list, then he's doing some big things. Botherwine says, that's why I like it. It makes me feel like home. We've had 3 straight months of nonstop rain. Wow. Okay. I hope you get a little sunshine in between the rain, though. Omer says, I haven't owned any moments for a year. I'm just here to troll Borland during the playoffs. Omer, may I suggest Fast Break if you have not taken a look yet, okay? Because I think there's a lot of people like you. I also wasn't buying many moments. But try Fast Break. Just see if you enjoy it. If you like playing little prop style betting, try it out. Boston Bay says, am I going blue to end the show? Oh, man, I hope not. I'll try to keep it PG-13 at least. Ben says, if the WNBA burn thing happened to the NBA, would this be the end of the platform? I don't think so, honestly, Ben. I really don't. I think people would definitely be pissed off, more pissed off than they are with the WNBA thing. But if I if I was holding a pack and that I was hoping to open, and if it's months old and the challenge utility is gone, let's say, and you know, the reality is, like, what's that pack going to be worth currently? Probably not going to be flipped for anything too crazy. And if I now get 133% of my money back, you know, I'm a little upset that I don't get the thrill of the rip, let's say, but I'm not super upset that I think this is the end of the platform. All right, let's see. Omer's asking me about Brazil. Oops, here. Did I burn or tan? I don't know. This light makes me look pretty red, but I pretty much burn. Like, I'm a white man. I'm pretty white. I don't have that melanin, you see? My son has melanin. My wife has melanin. They can go in the sun and they just turn nice and tan. Me, no. I'll get it all, like a red burn. And you'll press my finger in it and you'll see the white fingerprint. And Omer says, you may not suggest fast break. All right, Omer, just give it a try. That's all I'm asking. And Ben says, there's no way they could give 33% of transferable Dapper a top of the pack price. That's exactly what they did, Ben. Go look at the blog. Go to the Top Shot blog. Let's see what else. Okay. Ryan says, what do we think the MGLE price point? Well, do we know how many rares are in there? I guess we can talk about that for a second. Top Shot Hot Shot. So is tan D a lie? You're really pasty D? Yeah, I'm white bready, actually. So Ryan thinks the packs will be $70 with two rares in it. Maybe. I guess what was like the video game numbers was around that with one, right? So maybe the player list is a little less impressive. It could be. I think that's a fair guess, Ryan, if it's two rares. Two rares with a chance at three would be even nicer for that price point. Let's see what else. Ben says he means for the NBA packs, too many holders of the packs. Yeah, possibly, Ben. Possibly. Hopefully it doesn't happen. The Brazilian flex, says Bottle Wine. The Brazilian wife flex. I'm flexing a Brazilian wife. I mean, hey, look, that's just how it turned out, Bottle Wine. I didn't know I was looking for a Brazilian wife at the time. I didn't go on one of those websites and select her. Or maybe I did. let's see what else. Pohi Bigabew says that the Bilal challenge is going to sell those packs. And Badwine says, let's not kid ourselves. At least 90% of the chat is white. I think that's probably accurate. But Omer's not white. He's Israeli. And Ben has a non-white avatar, but I'm not sure. That might be some kind of celebrity or something. I don't know. But if it's not, then Ben's not white either. So there you go. Now we just need a few women in the chat. Then we can really turn up our diversity numbers. Badwine says, you made my comment sound so Andrew Tate-like. Totally not my intention. Oh, Badwine, it's okay. All right, so let's do a little tangential and let's see how many people we can upset. I'll keep it PG-13, I promise. All right, that's the tangential music. So here's the tangential I have for you. All right, this is what I thought. And I guess this is just shows you that my mind is sometimes not the cleanest one. But we were traveling from Lisbon to Brazil, and it's a long flight. Not that that makes any difference in this story. But anyway, you get on the airplane. You use the bathroom at some point on the airplane. Even though, granted, on the way back, I didn't use the bathroom. I was incredibly dehydrated because, like, who wants to use an airplane bathroom? And that's the whole point of where I'm going with this story. Airplane bathrooms are so effing gross. They're so gross. They're so small. I mean, I'm sure this is not breaking news for anybody, but airplane bathrooms are so small that you can't even like rotate inside of an airplane bathroom. They smell terrible. They're just nasty. There's always like some drops of something unknown on the ground. They're just disgusting. And the reason why I was thinking about this, and maybe I'm way off on this comment too, by the way, but I was thinking about how like you hear people like romanticizing, or you see it and hear it about it in movies and things like that about the Mile High Club. Okay. The Mile High Club is when two people perform coitus on an airplane. And I would imagine that the majority of those performing coitus on an airplane are doing so in a bathroom, or at least that's how it happens in like the movies. And it's like, oh my God, dude, if people are doing that kind of stuff in a bathroom on an airplane, that is nothing to be proud of. Like, you should never tell that story to anyone. That being on the Mile High Club in a bathroom on an airplane is like the nastiest thing you can do. It's so disgusting. And not only that, but not only about how gross it is in there, but also just the physicality of being able to even fit two people inside of an airplane bathroom. That's impossible. It's not possible. That must be the most uncomfortable thing you can ever do. So it's disgusting. It smells terrible, and it's probably impossible to do. And this has been The Tangential. All right. Well, I'm glad we could cover that. That was very important that we covered that today. It's always funny to watch like the viewership. We still got the viewership going even during the Mile High Club segment. We even have one viewer on Twitch. Hello, Twitch viewer. Stan Loves is saying some very inappropriate things right now in the chat. I will not be putting that one on screen. Omer as well. It seems like we have some degenerates in the chat, but that's okay. We welcome all. Omer says, have I ever been to a music festival bathroom? I have. Are you trying to tell me that there's the equivalent of the Mile High Club at a music festival bathroom? Because that is absolutely revolting. Music festival bathroom. Let's not even go there. That is just disgusting. Poker Pro is asking me how many MGLE packs. I'm not sure, Poker Pro. I'm not sure. I need to go take a closer look at the what's inside of those packs, etc., and make a decision. And Badawine says, I once went to a bathroom in Manchester Stadium during a UFC event, and it was the worst. I believe you. I'm there with you without even having to hear any more of the story, and that's how disgusting those things are. Poker Pro saying, which player is my favorite? I haven't looked at all the players in the MGLE drop actually yet, Poker Pro. I guess I can try to pull it up. Let me see if I can pull it up somewhere. I think same something, same XT or something like that. I can't find it now. Same TX. Where is he? There he is. Samet. Somehow Samet gets all the juicy details. But Samet, we can share Samet's tweet and we can find out more about this drop. So let's look at that real quick. And we can all learn something about the drop. Here we go. So first of all, here's our the commons, the hustle and show. You got your Devin Booker as your challenge reward. You got your Laurie, your Zion, your Cade, and your Peyton Watson. That's your hustle and show. So Devin Booker is your challenge reward. Your other commons are your extra spice. Your Steph Curry is your challenge reward. Then you got your Josh Hart, your Malik Beasley, your Jaden Ivey, and your Darius Garland. And here is your quite lengthy metallic gold player list. So this is a pretty big list here. Here we go. Your challenge rewards are Chet Holmgren, LeBron James, and your Bilal. So those are all going to be very sought after challenge rewards. I mean, this is Chet Holmgren's first rare moment, as well as Bilal's, of course. And any LeBron James rare moment is also going to be a hot item. And so those are the metallic gold challenge rewards, all pretty strong, all giving you reason to perhaps want to rip these packs and either enter those challenges or flip for some dapper. And here's the list. You got your Trae Young, your Nick Claxton, your Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier. By the way, I didn't say Rozier. Terry Rozier, DeMar DeRozan, Jalen Duren, Alperen Şengün, James Harden, Desmond Bane, Tyler Hero, Brooke Lopez, Brandon Ingram, Michael Porter Jr., Julius Randle, Kyrie Irving. How do they even have content of Kyrie Irving? I forgot that he even played this year. Jalen Suggs, Chris Paul, Devin Vassell, Miles Turner, Scotty Barnes, Donovan Mitchell, Shaedon Sharpe, Keegan Murray, and KD, Kevin Durant. So what players would I want in this list? Well, funny enough, I mean, if I'm going to think about it from a fast break lens, however smart or not smart that is, according to Jared, you know, I'd like a lot of these. I mean, Chet Holmgren, yes. LeBron James Challenge Award, yes. Bilal, yes. You know, some of these other guys, I have already some rares of them, but all of these players are excellent players in fast break. So really, you would like any of these guys to be able to use them in fast break, which I think adds an interesting wrinkle to the collectability of things on the platform. So if I'm just collecting things because of the collectability and I just enjoy it, well, I mean, I'm a big Jason Tatum fan, but this is going to be like his fifth MGLE or something at this point. So I think you probably want the rookies. So your Chet, your Bilals, and, you know, your LeBrons. I'd say all these challenge rewards are probably the ones that you honestly most want. So that's probably a good reason that they are the challenge rewards. That's probably a good thing. So I think they've laid it out pretty well. They've chosen players pretty well. They've chosen rewards pretty well, for that matter. So that's all I've got to say about that. It looks like a pretty good lineup of players. Poker Pro Eric and Hello Green Curry. And Poker Pro Eric is asking if MGLE is the best rare set. I think that it's sort of like the gold standard, as they would say. But nowadays, I actually think Video Game Numbers is a really cool rare set. So, yeah, I think MGLE is always going to look cool. Always to see that team logo in gold is always going to look cool. But in terms of like collectability, it's hard to say. I don't know. All right. So let's keep on going here and let's just try to finish off here. Josh says it's a good thing you forgot Kyrie was playing this year. He's been quiet. There was a story recently about Kyrie playing. I think it was yesterday, and these religious Jewish people were sitting in the front row in Dallas with these big signs that said "Proud to be Jewish." I don't know, man. I think it's a bit much at this point. Like, just let Kyrie play basketball. Like, hopefully he's not saying dumb stuff anymore. But I don't want that whole circus anymore of like, you know, then that's all anyone talks about when they talk about Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, if you can separate him from the idiotic things he said in the past, he is one of the most enjoyable basketball players to watch. And that's why I would love if we don't see Kyrie with any more dumb sound bites. And let's just watch him play basketball if that's possible. And Poker Pro says, shout out to Moonbirds. And Jared says, the MGLE art is fantastic. It's maybe my favorite yet. You know what, Jared, though? Is that going to be the art on the side of the moment? So we're not going to have the logo in gold anymore? I'm a little sad if that's true. I hope that it sort of is part of the cube, but that you still have those gold logos. I like the gold logos. And Bob the Wine says the world has finally completely lost its mind in 2024. Happy New Year. I think that's about right. Well, guys, we did it. we're over an hour. We're at an hour and 7 minutes. This is going to be a long listen for those tomorrow or the next day listening on the podcast. But I had fun. I hope you had fun. I hope that if you want to hit this MGLE pack, I hope you hit it. And that's all I got, guys. If there's anything else here in the chat. Poker Pro wants a Tandy and Packer Ewing show. Well, when Packer's feeling up to it, he's always welcome for sure. So I guess that's all I got, guys. I appreciate you being here together. I have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed being back together with you after the long break. And I'm happy to be here and to do this again with you every week. We get to check in. We get to talk about what's important, like airplane bathrooms. So that's about it. I hope you guys have a great week. I hope you guys get lucky in this pack drop if you're hoping for it. And we shall talk again soon. Take care, everybody. Static selector.